Now, returning to the caffeine point, James, I once heard it said, I think Marcus de Sautoy said to me, that a mathematician is a machine for turning coffee into mathematical formulae and papers. I don't know whether that's true or not, but perhaps you can answer this question for us, which is from Amy.
How did the coding machines in World War II work?
So this is a reference to Enigma, isn't it?
Yes, well, there are more than one code machine in World War II. We'll start with Enigma. So that's the famous one. That's the machine that was used by Nazi Germany in World War II to send their secret messages. So how did it work? Well, mechanically, it's just a circuit. It's just a battery connected to a light. So you press a button, press a letter A, for example, and the battery will connect to the letter T and it lights up. Then what happens next is inside there is a wheel and that wheel will turn. Now inside the wheel, it's full of wiring. So that's where all the wiring is. So when that wheel turns, all the wiring gets turned, which means the battery is connected to a different light, which means if I press A again, it will become a different code letter. So it's constantly changing. That's what made Enigma so difficult to
play. So how did you decode it then, if you didn't know where they started on the wheel?
So to decode, what you need to know is you need to know the correct starting position. So maybe miles away, you have your second German officer. They have an Enigma machine as well, set up exactly the same way as the first one. Then they type in the code, it will decode the message for them, because mathematically what the Enigma machine does is it turns 26 letters of the alphabet into 13 pairs. So if I press A and it becomes T, then T will become A. So it codes and decodes itself.
I see. Right. And so how did, when Alan Turing and his colleagues broke this code famously, how did they do it? What was the breakthrough?
So, well, we should mention that the Polish did this first. The Polish actually broke the code in 1932, so long before World War II. Fantastically, though, they managed to work out how the machine worked without ever seeing the machine, just from the codes alone. Love that. Just completely able to reverse engineer how the machine worked itself. And then they could build their own replicas. The Polish did have methods to break those codes. Those methods were a little bit fragile and were likely to stop working. So this is what the British needed to do. They needed to come up with a method that could replace those Polish methods. Alan Turing had a method that used a flaw in the machine. I talked how the machine connects one letter to another in a pair. Well, it makes 13 pairs. This means that a letter cannot be connected to itself. Now, that was a small clue. That's not much. It's a little clue, but it's just enough to start breaking the code.
And so how did they do it then? Because you still don't know. If you see a string of random, what appear to be random numbers or gibberish, how do you work out what was connected to what the day that they wrote that message, where the rotor was effectively?
So what you have to do is make a guess. So you guess a word or a phrase that might be in that message. What the Germans would do in 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning, they would send a weather report. So it was a standard letter. It was a standard form. You knew what that weather report said, apart from the actual weather. You knew what that said. So you could use a phrase in that weather report and you would try and find it where it fits in the code. And we have a clue, a letter can't be itself. So if we use the word weather, or Wetter in German, we know that a W can't become a W, an E can't become an E. Right, so we can find where it fits. We can't have a matching letter. That's not allowed. When we find a position where it fits without a match, that bit of code might be the word weather. Now we need to find the correct setting that makes that true.
So the weather is always our downfall, isn't it? Thank
it
you
was
very
much.
Useful. Jess, quickly.
Do you house an Enigma machine? Do you have one?
I do look after an Enigma machine. Now, that is cool. It is cool, isn't it?
I think I've seen one. Simon Singh brought one to a talk we organised. It probably was, actually. It's very impressive.
It may well have been the same machine that I look after.
Thank you.